I know what you're all thinking. Oh, man, I went 15 minutes of the sermon. You don't got to worry about that, right? You get the full dose no matter what. Oh, we're on part 26 of I Love Your Ways. And I don't know about you, but I've been loving this series, falling in love with God more and more just from getting to know him and knowing his ways. And we're going to be talking more about the heart. The last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, we've been talking about the heart itself. There's over 800 references to the heart in the Bible. It is the center of everything. And so I'm not going to be going over a lot of the stuff that we've talked about in past for the sake of time. But we're going to be talking about kindness tonight, believe it or not, as the climate that our heart is supposed to generate. In this in this series, we've been talking about the fact that God's ways restore and redeem us back to what was lost through Adam and Eve's fall. And Adam and Eve made the choice, they listened to Satan, and they took his advice that there was a better way to live than God's way. And as a result, they fell from grace, and ever since then, man has been degenerating, and God has brought Christ back into the world to begin to redeem and restore back to man what was lost through that fall. We've been talking about the fact that anybody who follows God's ways will have what we call a life lift, like the thermal lift that just like lifts the gliders. You will get a thermal lift of your life, and your life will get better and better and better. The way of the righteous becomes brighter and brighter like the noonday sun, the proverb says. As opposed to he who chooses adversity and chooses to follow after man's ways, the way of the adversary is hard. And so then you have the other way is the death spiral. And if you're following man's ways, you've been experiencing the death spiral. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Relationships die, and you know, we see all of the divorce and all the problems in our culture. It's all because of man choosing man's ways, and it creates this death spiral that takes you down the drain. Now, we've been doing 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's read together and aloud. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's do our drill. Are you ready? I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Okay, for those of you who are just here for the first time tonight, welcome. We're glad to have you here. But every time we come together, we do this because we need to know exactly how God made us. And that is, let's do it together and aloud. I am a spirit. I have a soul, I live in a body. All right. And the reason that you're still on this earth is because God is at work redeeming and restoring back to you what was lost. We've talked about the fact that the soul has three parts. The heart, which is the seat of your emotions and desire, your mind, your logic and intellect, and your conscience, that is your subconscious mind, source of our free will and drive to survive. These are all truths from the Bible. We've talked about them at length. And if you want to know more about that, go back on our website, or the CDs are back there, and you can catch up on that. But that's not the point of tonight. Tonight, we're still talking about the heart. The heart is a part of the soul. In fact, I would say it's more than a part of the soul. It is the center of the soul. It's the center of your being. It is the bridge to your mind and to your body. What Satan targets is your heart. Because your heart, as a seat of desire and emotion, is what moves you, and it needs to be redeemed badly to want God's ways and to want what God wants, because once you want what God wants, ultimately you will do what your heart desires. And everything starts with your heart. Okay, and I'll tell you right now again, whatever you have right now is because at one time it was your heart's desire. I'm not talking about cancer and bad things that happen to people. I'm talking about the things that we have control over. Whatever you have right now is because at one time your heart desired it. Your heart desires whatever your heart wants, the Bible tells us. That's what your mind thinks about. Okay? Whatever your conscious mind thinks about, your subconscious mind tells your body to do what's necessary to get what your heart wants. And that's why we end up doing things that create results. Whether they're good or bad, whatever we wanted, that's what we get because it was our heart's desire. And you say, well, no, 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 I didn't really want that. No, if I sit down and talk with you for a while, we'll get to the bottom of it and we'll figure out exactly how it is that you communicated to your mind and to your subconscious that this is what you really wanted. Did it turn out badly? Probably. That's why the Bible says be careful about what you want. Right? So the heart is deceitful above all else. Okay? Okay, so if your body, so tonight we're talking about kindness, right? Oh, Proverbs 4:23. Let's read together Proverbs 4:23. See, I'm talking real fast. See how I'm doing that? I'm making up for lost time. Right? You're going to get the full dose. All right. Together, Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Everything you have is because you wanted it in your heart. Your heart wanted it, your mind thought about it, your body did it. And that's what you got. You want something different? Get your heart to think something different, and you'll get something different. Amen. I started preaching already. All right. So tonight we're talking about kindness. We're talking about kindness, and we'll get to why we're talking about kindness. But if your body does kind acts, it's because your heart wants to be kind. It means that you are directing your heart in what you're watching over your heart, and heart, I want you to be kind. We're going to talk about that tonight because I think most of us never really made the conscious decision to be kind. The fruit of the Spirit is the original pre-fall disposition of the heart. Read together Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. It's the promise of the new covenant that was going to come through the Messiah. He said, what's the Messiah going to do for us? He's going to give us a new heart. Hallelujah. Our heart's got to be restored. It's got to be redeemed because it wants bad stuff, which causes us to do bad things, which ends up in a bad life. So God's got to give us a new heart so we want new stuff, want good stuff. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All right. And those are the emotions of the pre-fall. Adam and Eve, that was what the climate of their heart was. When they fell, they lost it. And now God's in the business of restoring it back to our hearts. Okay. So kindness is an emotion of the heart. Let's read together. We just did read Proverbs 4:23. Okay, good. Let's read together Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I know what you're thinking, Jen. I should have brought out years ago. I did, and I had this thing wrapped around my neck, and it was shaped in a heart, and it had kindness and truth on it, right? Let's read together Colossians 3:12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Where does kindness reside? In your heart. What is kindness? It's an emotion that resides where? In your heart. Exactly right. All right. Now, we love your ways, God. God's way, guess what it is? Kindness. You know, I mean, think about it. How many people think that God is this big meanie up there that's making everybody's life miserable? Right? There's such a perception about God that is so wrong, you know, but if you can get down to the most basic root truth of God's character, he is the most benevolent, gracious being ever. He's kind. Let's read together Psalm 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. I'm not going to get off track, but I just want you to think right now a moment. No, wait a minute. I had stuff happen to me that I don't think God was kind. Right? So, the question Is the Bible true, or is your perception of reality true? Are you placing on God, are you pinning on Him something that you heard somewhere, or blaming Him for something that the Bible says couldn't have been Him? He's kind in all of His deeds. Let's read together Exodus 33:13. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. See, if you don't know that God is kind in His ways, it's because you don't know God. Once you know God, you'll find out He is kind. He is so kind, we can't even begin to describe how kind He is. Let's define kindness, shall we? It's the quality of being kind. Well, what is kind? I'm glad you asked. It's the state of being benevolent, generous, considerate, respectful toward others. Interestingly enough, there's another whole category of definitions for kind, isn't it? A group of, like, what kind of bird is that, right? And you say, well, there's two different things. They are, but words are interesting because there's a reason why that same word is used in both ways. What is that? Well, guess what? We are mankind. What did God say about us? Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. See, we're kind of like God because God's kind. And we're supposed to be kind because we're kind of like God. That's a whole lot of kinds, isn't it? But that's why we're mankind, created in God's image, because He made us like Him, and He is kind. He's benevolent, generous, gracious, respectful, courteous, loving. Here's an interesting, so the golden rule, let's read together the golden rule. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is an interesting little video here. Think about this. Watch this guy right here. He's actually blind, and he's trying to cross a street here. Now, let's just say that you're in this car right here, right? Okay, and okay, this lady gets out of her car, walks him across there. Now, what does it take to be kind? What, you know, you would say to yourself, what if I was that blind person? What would I want to have happen? Here I am. I don't even know where I'm at, but I hear all these cars around me. What would you want somebody to do for you? If you did for them what you would like to have done for you, then you're being kind. I had a chuckle, you know. This lady, she parked in the left turn lane, right? There's other cars over here parked behind her. This guy right here, what he should have done, well, he was actually back here, he should have motioned, okay, you, come on around because I want to be kind. Instead, he takes off, right? Everybody else takes off. Oh, well. Okay, we don't really train ourselves to think about what would be kind in this situation. What would I like for somebody else to do for me if I was in the same boat? See, how do we know God's kind? Let's read together. Let's read together Romans 2:4, together and aloud. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? One of the wonderful truths about kindness, the power of it, we're going to be talking about what it's not in a minute, but the power of kindness, if there's any hope, I mean, I know most of you folks in this room here, you know, and most of you have come to know Christ, I believe, you know. If you've come to know Christ, it's because at some point you became aware of God's kindness toward you. You didn't come to Christ because somebody told you, hey, you know something? If you don't pray and receive Christ, something terrible is going to happen to you tomorrow, and you're going to spend the rest of your life in hell. We don't come to Christ because of of being browbeaten and threatened and beaten down, we come to Christ because of his kindness. Jesus said, hey, look at God. He's kind and he's just. He sends the rain and the sunshine on the just and the unjust alike. If you've come to know Christ, you've come to know him because he was kind toward you. Somehow you became aware of his tolerance, his patience, and his kindness toward you. And at some point you felt, holy cow, I can't believe he's been that good to me. I didn't deserve that. But he loves me that much. And you became aware of every good thing in your life is because of his goodness and his kindness toward you. So how to be kind God's way? Okay, I think we already read Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. In other words, it wants to leave you, right? Anybody here have kindness leave you? Like this week? Three people? Oh, three people. Four. Okay. Five. Oh, okay. Now we're starting to get our guilty conscience. Yes, I guess I did. Yeah, I mean, the default mode, you know, the default mode is the fallen nature of Adam. You know, we quickly revert back to being unkind, certainly. Proverbs 19:22 says, what is desirable in a man is his kindness. Okay. And, yeah. Proverbs 3, I guess the ladies talked about Proverbs 3 today, right, Kathy? You and Nancy? And, yeah. You know, if you want to find favor with man and God, don't let kindness and truth leave you. You're going to find favor with God and man. Don't let kindness leave you. Why? Because being unkind has a way of sowing into the wind and reaping the whirlwind. But when you're kind, you're sowing those seeds of kindness and they come back 30, 60, 100 fold back to you. And then Proverbs 31:26, talking about the proverbial woman, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I underscored that one simply because, you know, it's important that we learn about kindness. It's important that we learn, that we are taught to be kind. You know, we got, I got eight grandkids, right? One granddaughter, the rest of them you can figure out what they are, and they don't have a choice, right? But they don't naturally say please and thank you, right? I mean, I don't know how many times a day I say, you know, they say, get me some milk, and I say, not unless you ask me in a kind way. Oh, can I please have some milk? Sure. It's not you know, we don't naturally learn to be kind. We are taught to be kind. Now, we're talking about, as we go into learning how to be kind God's way, we have to understand that kindness is the Achilles heel of Christianity. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that as we go through here. But Satan will use kindness to get to you to eventually try to make you become angry, resentful, and possibly even give up on the faith. He uses a distorted view of kindness to hurt those who want to live God's way. A person who, once you accept Christ, your conscience becomes like a clean tablet now, and you want to live life God's way. And so wanting to live God's way, and because the Holy Spirit's in there, putting the fruit of the Spirit in there, you have a desire to be kind. And that want to be kind is something that Satan can use to manipulate it around to the place where it can really frustrate you and make you come to the conclusion that Christianity is not for you. Let's read together 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And then Jesus said in Matthew 10:26, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. There's nowhere, I don't believe there's anywhere that is more pertinent than when it comes to kindness. And I don't believe any teaching on kindness is complete and true to God's word unless this aspect of it is taught, because Satan will use kindness more than any other attribute that God calls us to have to destroy our faith. Let's just say what kindness is not. It is not a weakness of character. And you think from the world's point of view, when you think of somebody that they're kind, if they're a tough, macho kind of a person, they think he's a milquetoast. He's kind. I'm rough and tough and right. Bible says that being kind is the greatest strength of character that a person can have. It's not people pleasing. We already saw truth and kindness must be kept together. I don't know that I can say most. In my opinion, after 40 years of ministry, my opinion is that most Christians confuse kindness with people pleasing. They think they're synonymous. Nothing could be further from the truth. And of course, that leads to being a doormat for others and license to be taken advantage of. Now we go from preaching to meddling. Okay? You have to know your own emotion. Kindness is an emotion, right? We already established that. I proved that to you. Kindness is an emotion. Beware of your emotions, right? So, people-pleasing personality, you have to know, right? Am I a peaceful phlegmatic? Am I one of those persons who gets a pit in my stomach when I have to say no to somebody? Am I one of those people who really wants to please other people? Right? And I'll tell you what, a lot of Christians have that personality. There's nothing wrong with it. It's one of the four personalities. But if you've got that personality, then you are going to identify with what I'm going to be saying in a minute, because I'm going to be saying that you probably deal with resentment a whole lot because people take advantage of you all the time. And you're like, yes, but I'm kind. And I thought kindness was supposed to... Here's the problem. If you are a people-pleasing, if you have that personality... I'm going to say it. You use other people to help them to get your own need met, to feel needed. You might think that's deep. You might think that's circumference or whatever that word is. But I'm telling you, I've seen it over 30 years. When a person cannot say no and they go, it's because they need to be needed. And that fills a void in their life that really only Christ should fill. And it fills a void in their life, and Satan uses that void to take advantage of them and use them and push them into making decisions that are not God's best will for their life. And as a result, they forfeit God's best for some mediocre or even less than mediocre will. It makes them vulnerable to enabling others to sin. It makes you vulnerable to being critical of others that don't consider that I'm going to say you, because there's some of you here, I know it. You know, you, I shouldn't use the word you. But I know, I don't know, I'm pretty sure that you look at me and say, Rick, you should be kinder. Because you're not like me. Right? Sometimes. We've got a politician in the group. Who said that? Sometimes, maybe. Now, the problem is that you being kind, becoming judgmental of other people, is a hypocrisy. That's being a hypocrite. I'm the perfect Christian. I'm kind. Why aren't you? Here to you. Hypocrite. Unfortunately, that also It becomes self-serving and overindulging in not being able to say no. You double, triple, quadruple book yourself. And then you drag other people in to do what you promised to do. No? Well, I'm not going to admit that. And then, of course, the resentment comes because of being taken advantage of. Because why? Well, because the kindness isn't reciprocated. Now, my understanding of the scriptures is that if we're in God's best will, he will cause, and we're obeying him, he will cause whatever we do, whether it be with our money, our time, whatever, he'll cause it to come back to us 30, 60, 100-fold. If it's not coming back, guess what? We shouldn't have done it. Now, correct kindness is learned. Truth and kindness must always go together. Satan will always try to pit one against the other. And okay. Both truth and kindness must be held together as two sides of the same coin. Courteous, honest communication. I'm going to be saying, I'm not sure if I say it here now. I don't say it here yet. But at some point, in fact, when I get to my three points, the second one of those is, believe that honestly, truthfully, courteously telling somebody the truth is the ultimate kindness. Most Christians, I think that if you tell somebody the truth, even if it's courteous, it's being unkind. I believe the Bible teaches that the ultimate kindness and self-sacrifice of one's being is to tell someone the God-honest truth in a kind but courteous and respectful way. That's what I believe. Because God's that way. That's how God's kindness works. He's not pulling any punches with anybody. Now, here's where I go to meddling. And I go to meddling in this area because, again, after 40 years of spending countless time in marriage counseling and seeing the direction of our culture, I realize that almost all marriages at some point will come to a place where one spouse will tell the other spouse, hey, I'm done with sex. Rick, how do we go from kindness to sex? Well, that's the crazy thing about my mind. I don't know how it works. I'm telling you that in 40 years of counseling, when people get honest, and they, at some point, when a love relationship breaks down, intimacy breaks down, at some point, one of the spouses said to the other spouse, I'm not going to have sex anymore. Deal with it. Now, if the other spouse is a pleaser, a people pleaser, what do they say? Oh, whatever, honey, okay. Whatever it takes to make you happy, okay. Whatever it takes to save the marriage, okay. The problem is that the Bible says that's not okay. In fact, the Bible says that using sex as a weapon or prohibiting your partner from having, your spouse from having sex with you is covenant breaking. It's selfish covenant breaking. And is an act of lovelessness. I got myself in real trouble, and I'm going to get myself in trouble. See, I happened to plunge in where angels fear to tread. But years ago, you know, Jimmy Swaggart got into this trouble for visiting prostitutes, right? And I happened to be going through 1 Corinthians 7 at the time, and I said, you know, I don't really know Jimmy Swaggart. I don't know his family situation. I don't know, you know, anything about him. But I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that if his wife was not fulfilling him sexually, then she's just as responsible as he is for sexual immorality. And everybody, well, I got some email. That was before emails, actually. I got some letters about that. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? You better believe it. That's why the Bible says, be very careful who you marry. Do not be unequally yoked. You both have to be willing to die to self and live for the other person. You say, well, Rick, the other person doesn't want to have sex, so you got to die to yourself. And yeah, but the Bible doesn't say that. That's why I say you always go back to the Bible, because the devil will use the Bible and use disobeying the Bible to make people do things that absolutely destroy their life. I always kind of chuckle inside. Whenever I talk about spouse, it gets real quiet. Everybody's like, true kindness will never knowingly enable someone to sin. In that previous case, the spouse that says, oh, okay, whatever, is actually enabling their spouse to sin. They should be saying, honey, this is what the Bible says. Let's work through this. But we have a responsibility to remain intimate in every way, spirit, soul, and body, our entire life. And we're not going to let Satan steal that from us for any reason. We're going to work at this and make it work, because I believe the Bible is true. Another example. Your neighbor wants you to take them to the hospital an hour and a half away for chemo each week. That would be a kind thing to do, wouldn't it? I know this actually is a true thing that happened to someone. They never, over months, never ever offered to even pay for gas. I mean, hour and a half there, 3 hours for the chemo, hour and a half back. That's your day. That's a day, right? Using your car, paying your gas, never offered once. And they actually told them, it's your Christian responsibility to do this for me. Now, a people pleaser would feel guilty to say no. A people pleaser would feel guilty about even bringing it up. I mean, you'd be sitting there thinking, how am I going to bring this up? I can't believe it. I got to talk to this person. I'm sick to my stomach. How am I going to tell this person that they're taking advantage of me? How am I going to tell them that they're stealing? Passively, aggressively, but they're stealing. Right? And so what happens? Become resentful. You avoid that person. You do everything the Bible says not to do, because you're enabling that person to sin by taking advantage of you. Okay. How to be kind God's way. Let's read together Acts 14:17. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Let's read what Jesus said in Matthew 5. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. How to be kind God's way. Number one, first and foremost, know God's word. It is your protection. You have to know that Satan was going to try to get you to be kind by violating God's word. God's word is your protection from missing God's best will for your life. Two, direct your heart to be kind and truthful. Let's read together Proverbs 23:19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Direct your heart in the way. We've talked a lot about directing your heart, making a conscious choice, a conscious decision. You know that I'm a big advocate of keeping a journal, writing down in your journal. If you're listening to this message and it's getting into your heart, and you really want to be kind God's way, then write down in your journal, God, today I direct my heart to be kind your way. Not the world's way, not my perverted Christianese way, but your way. Direct my heart, Lord, to be kind your way. So you want to, so do you desire to be kind and truthful as the default being of your heart? Write it down as a goal in your journal. Again, you have to believe that being respectfully truthful is the ultimate act of kindness. Put another way, keeping truth in is the ultimate act of unkindness. Practice being kind to everyone, no matter whether they agree with you or not. Reject man's way of being rude, tough, hard to get along with, quick to criticize and find fault, too selfish and busy to be kind. That's how you direct your heart to be kind God's way. I'm making up my mind, I really am going to be a kind person. And even if someone disagrees with me or persecutes me or comes at me, I'm still going to be kind to them. I'm not going to let them take advantage of me. I'm going to be honest with them, but I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to be screaming. I'm not going to be cursing. Not going to be yelling. Not going to be, you know, whatever. I'm going to be this strong character who stands up and is honest and courteous, but not backing down from truth and righteousness. There's never an excuse to be unkind. Being truthful is not being unkind, but you can be kind while being truthful. Let's read together Matthew 7:12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Let's read together Luke 20:21. They questioned him, saying, Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. They're talking about Jesus there. That's what we want to be. We want to teach the way of God in truth. And look at Ephesians 4:15 together and aloud. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. This is why I'm saying that true godly kindness is the greatest maturity of character that you can have, because you are saying, yes, I am going to speak the truth in love and grow up to be just like Jesus, who stood up and told the people exactly how it was. Whether they agreed with him or not, whether they stoned him or not, he just told them the truth. That's the kind of God that is kind, and that's the kind of kindness that God wants us to have. But it takes strength, doesn't it? What am I talking about in truth? First of all, God's word is God's eternal truth. But secondly, your feelings are your temporal truth. We have to be true to both to be kind God's way. When I talk about feelings, I'm going to talk about it in a minute. But when somebody asks you, that might even be my next one. No, it's not. Okay, but we're going there. You can't have peace in your heart when truth is being denied. Okay, if we go back to those two examples that I gave you of the sexless marriage or the neighbor taking advantage of the Good Samaritan. In both those situations, right, there was no peace in the heart. In the heart, the people knew they were doing something wrong. In the married couple situation, both the one denying and the one saying okay, both of them in their heart of hearts knows they were wrong. And they're disobeying God's word, and as a result, disobeying God's word always makes peace leave. Disobedience always makes peace leave. And so they've grown accustomed to having this turmoil in their heart and a lack of peace because they have decided, it's better for me to disobey God's word than to obey it and have to deal with something I don't want to do. peace. Okay, Zechariah 8:16. Together, these are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to each other. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. You want peace in your gates? You want peace in your marriage? You want peace in your home? You want peace in your heart? You've got to speak the truth. No truth, no peace. And then third, when you're asked to do something out of the kindness of your heart, say, hey, let me get back to you on that. And then write down in your journal, ask the Holy Spirit, is what they're asking me to do contrary to your word? Holy Spirit, is this God's best will for my life? You know, one of the things that I know Nancy's had a hard time when I first started out in the ministry. She had a hard time understanding because I get all these requests from people to do all this stuff, and I'd say, no, 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 no. Let me get back to you on that. No, 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 no. And she'd say, Rick, why aren't you? I said, well, first of all, when somebody asks me to do something, unless I have immediate peace in my heart about it, I'm going to say no. Then I'm going to go back, just like Jesus said, you know, just like the brothers, they can go back. I can go back and I can say, God, is this something you want me to do? Is this your best will for my life? And if God says, yes, I really want you to do that, I can call them up and say, hey, I was wrong. I'm going to help you out. Jesus said, that's a far better way to go about life than to say, yeah, sure, and then not show up or feel angry about having to do it. Amen? Okay. My big thing is always, I'm going to pray and ask God. If he tells me to do it, I'll be there. But if it's blank and I don't get anything, don't count on me. A blank is the same as a no. A blank is not a yes. A blank is a no. We clear on that? All right. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, if I commit to this, who else in my life is going to be affected? Who do I need to go and talk to first before I say yes? If you're married, there's a clue. Right? Because if you're committing to do something for somebody, somebody else is down the road going to have to pay the price. Right? Life is pretty full. Who are you going to bump in order to fulfill this need? Somebody's going to get bumped. Right? Are you mad at me yet? See, that's what I mean about kindness being used by the devil. He manipulates it and gets you making decisions, and then you're all in turmoil because everybody's mad at you, and it's a mess. And then finally, ask Holy Spirit, if I do this, am I enabling someone to sin? Even by doing this out of the kindness of my heart. And I've given you a couple examples on how that can work, haven't I? Believe me, when somebody asks you to do something, Satan's already there listening. Now, how can I turn this around to hurt them? That's where the saying goes, no good deed goes unpunished. I have a funny story. I don't know if I should tell you or not. I was down in Boone last weekend, and there was a man and his wife there. They both had babies on their back, and they're out there fly fishing, you know. And it was getting dark, and I'm there. I don't know anything about fly fishing, and I'm trying to fly fish, and so this guy could see. Obviously, I didn't know what I was doing, and I said, yeah, I'm a novice. I'm just trying to learn. And he says, well, and then he starts telling me all this stuff. And then he puts his baby off his back, and he puts her down beside the creek there. And he starts, here, let me give you this, and let me give you that. And he's giving me all this stuff, right? Next thing you know, his baby falls over into the river in the backpack. And he pulls her up. She's like, ah! And I said, see, no good deed goes unpunished. But he said, yeah, she'll stop crying. Here, I'm in. He was into fly fishing, man. But the baby did stop crying, and she was all happy. But, you know, I don't know. How did I get over on that? I don't know. But will I be enabling someone to sin by doing this out of the kindness of my heart? All right. Okay, say, oh, I know. Satan's always looking, trying to get in there to make a mess out of something good, right? That was my point there. Kind of lost it. All right. Let's read together Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Okay. So, that peace is what you've got to cultivate and learn. This is the peace that surpasses comprehension. Yes, it's a little scary, but when I think about not doing it, I don't have peace. When I think about doing it, I'm a little scared, but I got this sense that God's with me and he's going to take me through. He's going to make a way. So the final question is, have you ever responded to God's kindness to you by receiving Christ into your heart? And then secondly, have you ever decided to be kind to others as God is kind to you? Have you ever made that decision? I want to be known as a kind person. Not a weak person. Not a doormat. I want to be known as the kind of person that is strongly kind. No matter what I'm facing, I am a kind, generous, benevolent person. And I know how to say no, and I know how to tell the truth. And I can do it kindly. Have you ever decided to be a kind person God's way? Have you ever chosen to get rid of the Christian version of kindness, where you are everybody's doormat, and you're a people pleaser, and can't say no? You can't have it both ways. You can't have God's kindness and be a people pleaser. Have you chosen God's way? Do you love God's way? Do you want God's way of being kind? If we could just bow our heads for a moment, close our eyes. I wonder, is there someone here tonight who has never responded to God's kindness toward you? I mean, he gave his son and died on a cross. Every good thing in your life he has given to you as a testimony of his kindness and love for you. Have you responded properly and saying, Jesus, come into my heart, I give you my life? If you've never done that, you can do it tonight. If you want to do that tonight, look up at me, let our eyes meet. Tonight's the night. You're making the decision to respond to God's kindness and open your heart up and give him your life. Anyone here today making that decision for the first time? Just look up at me, let our eyes meet. Now I wonder, how many of us here want to be kind God's way and get rid of man's way of being kind? I know I do. If that's the desire of your heart, why don't you just stand up with me? I'm standing, and I'm standing because I want to be that way. If you want to be that way, just stand with me. We're going to stand up, and we're just going to say, please pray this together with me out loud and together. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the ultimate example of kindness. You gave your life to save me. And you told me the truth. And didn't pull any punches, because you love me and because you're kind. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to be kind the exact same way. I want to be kind the God kind of way. I'm directing my heart tonight. Heart, be kind, just like God. I will be kind God's way. And I will be at peace because I am kind God's way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for leading me in peace.